Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us tonight. Our lines will be open so you can call 619-639-4733 with your comments, questions, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 619-639-4733. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or GITM, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, home or house church usually have 20 people or less. Small churches are up to 100 adults, and parachurch ministries could be Bible studies, prayer groups, men or women's ministries that are not churches in and of themselves, but walk alongside the church. We're featuring one home, small, or parachurch ministry each month by interviewing them. We hope that as you hear them tell their personal testimonies, share their history, their current activities, their future vision, and preach the word of God, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people that, no?
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we just praise the Lord. We just begin by just giving him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Yes, this is your host, Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Glory. Hallelujah. Even before we pray today, I want to start with a scripture that's on my heart. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's Zephaniah 3:17. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We adore you. You are the Holy One. You are the glorious One. You are the true and living One. There is none beside you. There is none above you. There is none that compare with you. And we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, for being in the midst tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much, Lord. We know that this is a time where you're just going to absolutely, positively have your way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that I have decreased so that you may increase in every area of my life. And I just give you praise and glory for it. And so, Lord God, just move by your Spirit. Have your way. Move to suit yourself, and we'll all be happy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, welcome to everyone. God is definitely in the midst tonight. There's so much going on in the spirit realm. So much going on in the spirit realm right now. And so I want you to just continue to pray along with me tonight. I know that God is doing mighty things, especially when the enemy tries to cut things off that that have been planned. And so we just say, Lord, have your way. Well, I guess I'm not only your host tonight, but I'm your guest speaker. God has blessed me over the past 3 weeks or so to be able to travel. That is a blessing. And along with that blessing comes lots and lots of prayer. So we have had people to pray for us as we went on the road. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of people say, wow, you get to travel like that. That's so glamorous. Let me tell you what, it's a wonderful thing, and it's more than a notion, amen, to travel, to go around, and just, you know, to be prayerful and to allow the Lord to move by his Spirit. This has been a trip like none other for me, and it started off being a very humbling trip, because I began to hear from the Lord in a different way. I know other people who have heard from him in that way, but I have never really heard from him in that way. I hear God's voice. I hear, he'll show me a vision. Sometimes I even feel things. But even the way I was feeling things on this trip was very different than I know. So I was on a learning curve with communicating with the Lord. And that was extremely humbling. I almost felt like, you know, I went back to square one, like learning the ABCs, you know, and I've been writing essays or books or whatever, and then going back to learning A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So that's the kind of trip that it's been. And it's kind of hard to explain it, but I'll just, I know if you're listening, you understand what I'm talking about in some form or in some way, you understand what I'm talking about. So I won't go into a long explanation, but there were times where God was communicating with me. I did not understand. And the times that I didn't understand, I learned what he was saying later on. And so I learned to, on this trip, to really take my time, you know, not try to push God, but just wait time. And one of the main things he taught me on this trip is being goal-oriented is not always the way. Even when we have a destination, a goal, or something like that, still what he's saying and what he's doing right then and there supersedes, you know, any kind of plans that we have, because he knows the plan that he has for us. And that plan is good, and it's not for evil. And there's a lot of times where God would just really stop us right in our tracks because he knows the danger that's ahead. or, you know, he knows that we're not supposed to be there exactly at that time. We're to wait so that we're not walking into something that he doesn't want us to walk into. So very, very big learning experience with this. So anyway, I was able to travel this time. I started off on my way to Atlanta, Georgia. That did not happen. Some of you may know that a friend of mine who's retired from the airline, put me on, I'll just say, a travel pass, and that I can fly, but I have to fly standby. So what that means is that if there's any space on the plane, and if other standby people, if I'm on a list of standbys, and so if they have a higher seniority or something than my friend has, or if I'm traveling without her, then I may end up on a standby list as number 15 or number 20 or something like that. So with this trip, the first leg of the trip headed for a wedding in Atlanta did not happen because I had never seen a standby list like this before. But I ended up as number 20, number 25. And usually in the past, there's been maybe 4 or 5 people on the standby list, not 20 or 30. It was like 32 people on that list. So I made it as far as Chicago and sat in the Chicago airport listening diligently to the Lord to see what to do. By the end of the day, I would have had to, you know, spend the night in Chicago or fly someplace else. And so my friend who lives in North Carolina made the plans for me to come there. And then we would figure out Atlanta after that. So I'm saying that first to say that, yes, it's wonderful to travel all around. But the way that I was traveling, you know, it's less expensive to travel this way. But one really has to have patience and peace in the Lord to be able to travel like this and to wait when there's 5 planes that are full and you continue to wait and maybe even miss an event, but you continue to wait. So just wanted to say that because a wonderful, wonderful friend of mine sent me a message and told me she was jealous that I could do this. And I'm like, baby, don't be jealous. I didn't say baby, but I was like, please don't be jealous. Please pray. So, and that's what I want to say to people. You guys probably aren't even going through anything like that, but you know, just to let you know, it was something to travel. And you know, we always need the Lord. Absolutely, positively, we always need the Lord to be with us. Whether we know we're going to have a seat on the plane or whether we don't know, he has to be with us, and we have to, you know, listen and follow him. Okay, having said that, this is where I went. When I started off on March the 23rd, and I just got back on April the 10th. And so I ended up going to North Carolina and had a wonderful time there. Didn't stay there that long, but we ended up driving to Atlanta. I don't know what was going on in Atlanta at that time, but everybody and their mother wanted to get to Atlanta. So even though I missed the wedding that I was to go to, thank God I sent a gift in advance. but still missed it. And another thing that I was going to do when I got there was to meet with a pastor, and the healing ministry was it's kind of, well, thinking about, well, we're trying to travel and minister because God is really using us in a great way, the St. Louis International Healing Ministry. So we spoke with a pastor who was interested in having us to come, and met with my friend, the bishop, and we went over and, you know, along with my friend who was, we were traveling together, went there and met with the pastor. And, you know, he was able to tell us things that were going on in the ministry. We were able to just spend some really good quality time with him and to pray with him. And he told us that we do have an open door to come and minister. So the healing ministry is planning on going. So please keep us in your prayers. One of the kind of miraculous things that happened, if you've ever been to Atlanta, you know that the traffic in Atlanta, Georgia is, I mean, it's like a little New York. It's so many cars all over everywhere. And my friend, Bishop Aaron, he prayed a prayer. And the prayer was, Lord, part the Red Sea for us to go through this traffic. And the Red Sea was really a Red Sea of light, you know, the red lights, and we're behind all these cars. And let me tell you what a prayer that was. You know, it almost seems like a funny prayer, but we got through the traffic in Atlanta with, Lord, part the Red Sea for us, and it happened. So just spent a little time there, and, you know, that was beautiful. And then I headed out to Texas and spent some time in Texas with my brother and his wife. And my brother is Pastor Herbert McCoy. He has the Friday night broadcast. It'll be on tomorrow night. They are now doing it by video. I think Google Meet. And so anyway, I went there, excuse me, with him and his wife, and had a wonderful time of rest at their home, a good time of fellowship. You know, I went to his church services, went to the Sunday service and Sunday school, and just had a wonderful time of rest there with him. And then he was going out of town, and so I went to my niece's house, his daughter's house, one of his daughter's house, and spent time with her and her husband and her children. Awesome time with them as well. Let me go back to my brother. When I went to church with him, with them on Sunday, what they do is very interesting. They have their church service at 8 a.m., and then at 10, that's when they have their Sunday school. So, you know, they were having a women's day there, I think every fifth Sunday, the women minister. And so they didn't know I was really coming until like the last minute, and they had a speaker there. And so I think she's a deaconess, and so she spoke and really did an excellent job. And my brother asked me to come up and greet the people. And I had prayed, and the Lord said, you know, I want some people to be healed, and this is how I want you to pray. And so I said, okay. And he's had me to pray. I think we've probably done this on this broadcast, but I was praying for people, for stress to come off of them. And even as I talk about this right now, if you pray like this, the Lord will touch you. So what I had them to do is to take their hand and, you know, put it on their forehead and then pray that all of the stress that has collected in their mind or even in their brain and their head would come off, and then they just kind of wiped it off of them, and that stress just came off. And then we went to the shoulders and, you know, take the stress off of the shoulders. Hallelujah. I'm doing it for myself right now. And then put your hand on your chest and take the, just wipe the stress off in the name of Jesus, casting every care on him, for he cares for us. And then even in the back, in the small of the back, you kind of reach your hand back there and just really kind of move it around, because a lot of times stress will try to collect in the small of your back. And then just move that around and then just take it off and take every bit of stress off. Hallelujah. I'm feeling that right now myself in the name of Jesus. So removing the stress out of your back. So that's what we did that day. And, you know, it didn't take long, just like what I just said, didn't take very long. And a man who came, I want to say he's from Puerto Rico, but he was visiting the church for the first time. And when he finished doing that, he was healed. And there was what he was saying to me was that his family had been really plagued with arthritis. And I think rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis, that's really something right there. And he said, you know, after he did that, he was able to raise his arms up, which he had not been able to do for a very long time. And then another man, one of the deacons at the church, he said that he walked in with back pain. And he said, I hadn't even opened up my mouth. As soon as I stood up there, his back pain went away, and it was still gone. So I was like, hallelujah. And then I was saying some other things, and one of the ministers there, she was saying that that really ministered to her, even talking about stress and casting every care upon the Lord, for he cares for us. So, you know, I just look at that as the Lord, you know, just had me there for that time, for that season, for that reason. Hallelujah. And we don't even know the fullness of everything that he did. And I think about, you know, what he's called me to be is an apostle. I think some people have a different idea of what an apostle is, but simply what it says in the Bible is a sent one. And so he sent me. You know, I'm not going to be able to cover everything that happened, but just kind of the highlights that he brings to my mind. So as I said, we had a wonderful, wonderful time in Texas, and my niece and her husband, their hospitality was great. And their children were just endearing. Just really endearing. We had a super time with them. After Texas, I went back to North Carolina because we had not really made a decision whether we were actually going to Israel. And so my friend and I took time and we prayed together and sought the Lord on what to do and when to do it. We read some more things about Israel and, you know, really looked up the information on, you know, how to get there and how, well, what we were going to do, where we were going to stay and everything. And within 24 hours, by the Spirit of the Lord, that trip was put together. So some people were saying to me, what? You didn't tell me you were going to Israel? Well, 48 hours ago, I didn't know. So then, you know, everything came together, and the Lord, you know, gave us the okay to go to Israel. So the plans that we made word to. I'm really going too fast here. I got to stop for a moment. Now, I don't know, well, when I sent the information out about tonight, I said that there were three interviews that we were going to do tonight. The three interviews, as we were on the road, we met some very interesting people. And I took my phone out. We did interviews. I've listened to these interviews again. And today, I could not play them. So, very interesting. And so, I mean, I tried to do this till the last, very last minute, and it just did not come together. And then the Lord said, well, you could tell them what the interview was about. And so it'll just give you a little idea of how things were. So I'm going back to North Carolina, and this was when we were on our way out to New Jersey. We went to New Jersey, and then we went to Israel. So as I was sitting in the airport waiting on my friend to park the car, and I had the bags and everything, and a SkyCap came out to help us. First of all, the you know, where you can buy the carts, there is $5 to rent the cart, and you take your bags in yourself. So we had a bunch of bags, and I tried to rent the cart. It was broken. And then here comes this guy, and he has one of those SkyCap, the big cart, you know, that he could carry a lot on. And so he said, you need help? You know, it was like he came out of nowhere. And so I said, yeah. I said, you know, yeah, we need some help. So he put all the bags on there. And as we passed by the place where you rent the carts, I looked at him and I said, did you break that thing on purpose so we could use you? And he cracked up laughing and said, I just do what I need to do. So it was really funny. It was a divine appointment even to meet him. I was just so blessed by him. And he must have had a lot of favor in that airport, because we went in, and, you know, they don't check bags unless you show them your ID and your boarding pass. Well, I walked up with him with my bags and my friend's bags, and I'm just going to say it like this. I walked away from that counter, and she was not even in the building. I walked away from that counter with her bags checked and her boarding pass. So that was such a blessing. So while we were still waiting on her, he said, I still, you know, had a few bags on his cart, the ones we were going to take in. And he said, come on, let's go sit down and have a chat. And I was like, well, this is pretty cool. Because I'm figuring he's busy, he needs to go run and make some more money. So he sat down with me, and we began to talk. And he told me, you know, I could see the presence of the Lord on him. I would say maybe he was in his 60s, late 50s, maybe early 60s, and just had this really, really beautiful skin, you know, like he'd been drinking water, you know, or like a glow of the Lord was on him. And he began to tell me how wonderful Jesus is. And I was like, okay, this I need to hear. So I took out my phone and began to record, you know, what he was saying. I took a picture of him and everything. And his name is Aaron Falk. So, you know, we were talking, and he was telling me that this was several years ago, blood clots in his legs, around his neck. And he didn't really know it. And so he was walking around, and being a SkyCap, he does a lot of walking around and a lot of lifting. And he said he had noticed that his leg has swollen so much that his calf was the size of his thigh. It was that big. And so so he said he walked around, and finally, after 2 weeks of walking around, he went to see the doctor. And the doctor said, I want you to go to the hospital, but I want you to dress very slowly, because I guess they didn't want that blood clot to move around. Go very slowly. And so long story short, they took him to the hospital, and he ended up going into surgery, you know, immediately after they, you know, ran some tests on him. And he had to have about 4 surgeries on that to remove blood clots. And you know, he could tell it much better than me, but God got him through that, you know, over a series of time and the surgeries and everything. And he said what, you know, he needed the job that he had. And so he was in the hospital and not being able to work for about 3 months. And then he was in a wheelchair, not being able to walk. And he said that the people there at the airport made him a job while he was in his wheelchair. They created a job for him. That's the favor of God right there. So they created a job for him. And so he was able to have some finances coming in to his household. And he's the kind of person that, you know, he wanted to work anyway. You know, whatever he could do, he wanted to work. And so now, you know, and he was praising God that he is walking. Hallelujah. And so he's been back to work for a while. So after that, he was diagnosed with, he said, something called drop foot, where whenever he began to walk, his foot would just drop on its own, you know, without him even knowing or when it would happen or anything. And so he was given a brace to go on his leg, and that brace was on his leg the day that we met. He said, you know, that he didn't have any pain. It's just that with that drop foot, he didn't know when his foot was going to drop. And then with the brace on, his leg was not as strong as it's been in the past. And so he would have to lean on the arms of the chair to be able to get up. Without doing that, he would not be able to get up. So I asked him if I could pray for him. And he said, yeah, sure. So I just, you know, prayed over him, put my hands on the brace just for a few moments because, you know, I knew he was at work, and prayed for him. And then I said, well, do something you couldn't do before. We believe God is moving. First of all, when I put my hand even close to his knee, the anointing was so tremendous. And, you know, as Elder Phillips says, he could just feel it just flowing in his hands and through his hands, the anointing. And really, that's how it was. And he, Aaron Falk felt it as well. And after we finished praying, he was able to get up without holding on to anything. And he was like, wow, it's been a long time since I could do that. So he was very happy. And I said, now, don't take off the brace right now, but when you get home, take that brace off and walk around. So he said, okay, he would try it at home. Now, I didn't get his phone number. I don't think I do. But God is just awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Okay, so then after that, we went to New Jersey, and, you know, we waited for the plane to go to Israel, to go to Tel Aviv. While we were waiting, we just began to hear. I had no clue, really. Maybe I should have known, but I did not have a clue that this was the Tuesday coming up would be the election, and they would be voting to see if the president, Benjamin Netanyahu, if he would continue to be the president. And we were there the day of the election. Now, I don't know the fullness of the the implications of that or why, you know, because really my friend and I had talked about going to Israel for like about 2 years. And then all of a sudden, within a 24-hour period of time, everything came together that we would go there. And at this particular point in time, which was awesome. And I think at some point we're going to know why we needed to be there at that time of the election. And in case you have not heard, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is still the president, and he's been there for, I don't know, decades, I believe, as the president. So, amen. Hallelujah. I keep getting these wonderful text messages from Elder Philip. And he's making his comments before I open the lines. And so if you guys have any comments, write them down. And we're going to open the lines probably in the next 20 minutes or so. Amen. But his comment was, Elder Phillips' comment was, because God is moving in an election of grace. Amen. Amen. So the plane ride to Israel is a straight flight. You know, you don't stop in London and get on another plane or anything like that, but just a straight flight from Newark, New Jersey to Tel Aviv, Israel. And the flight was 10 hours long. So that's the grace of God to get you through a 10-hour flight. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the food was really good on the plane. You know, these days you don't see food on a plane that you're not paying for on a plane unless you're going on an international flight. So we had some kind of pasta stuff with spinach in it. Oh, man, it was really good. And not just because I was hungry. It was really good. So we get to Tel Aviv, and we're following the Spirit of the Lord. We had gotten this app called Get, G-E-T-T, and that app was supposed to be kind of like Uber, but the Israeli Uber, where, you know, you go to your, and in 2 minutes they'll come, you pay for it through the app, in 2 minutes they'll come and get you. So even though the phone was working, because we had taken care of that in advance, the phone was working and everything, but we could not connect with that. So we decided to get on the train, being brave souls by the Spirit of the Lord. So we got on the train that would take us to Jerusalem, because our hotel, we decided, I want to say by the Spirit of the Lord, to get an American name hotel. So we went to the Ramada Inn in Jerusalem. Very nice place. And it wasn't too expensive. It was a little more than you pay in the United States. But it was good. And the breakfast, whew, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, once we got off the train, we heard this music. We heard piano. And we thought it was just piped in music. But later on, we found out that there was somebody playing the piano outside of the train station. So we took some pictures in front of the sign that said Israel, and it was a real nice photo op place. My friend, and I'm saying my friend, I keep saying my friend, because I did not even ask her permission to talk about her on this broadcast. So, but anyway, so she does flagging, you know, in church and everything, and the Lord has just shown her how to flag. She's written a book on flagging for the Lord, and so she got, you know, took her flags out, and I took some pictures, and the guy was playing the piano, so everything was just right there. You know, we couldn't see who was playing the piano at that point. And so, you know, with the music and everything, beautiful day, I got to say that. All while we were there in Jerusalem, in Israel, everything, it was just the most beautiful day. The temperature was just perfect in the 70s, bright, shiny days. And we didn't stay there that long. Actually, we stayed there for 2 days. And people were like, "You only here for 2 days?" That's the time we had. Because we both had to go and do other things. And so we had time that was carved out. We did what the Lord led us to do, and, you know, we went on. So, okay. We got up the stairs and found out that the piano was being played by someone. It wasn't piped in music. And there is this cement piano, which is, they said, the only cement piano, I don't know if they said in the world, but it was made out of cement. It looked like a grand piano, and it played very well. You know, it wasn't just a little tink tink sound. It was a nice full sound to it. And the guy who was playing the piano, we met him, and his name was Apostle James. And I cannot recall his last name or if we wrote it down. But Apostle James was playing, and guess what he was playing? Christian music. Songs that I knew, like, you know, back from the 90s, you know, Hillsong type songs. But, you know, he played a lot of different, he played hymns as well. And then he even played the theme song is not the word that I'm trying to use, the national anthem, you know. And so he played that, and of course it was like you could tell people were kind of saluting and standing and, you know, like they were really feeling that. And but the Christian music was really, really beautiful. So we talked to him, and he prophesied to us. Boy, did he prophesy. And he played piano a little while, and then he pointed his finger and prophesied, and then he played some more. And I had a wonderful interview from him, and maybe someday you will hear it. Hallelujah. So he's from America, and I believe he said that his mom is Jewish, and so he came there to be around his mother, and he's been going around praying for people and, you know, doing whatever the Lord led him to do. And was he a strange bird? Yes, he was, but, you know, a lot of apostles are. Not me, really, but... You know, I can be a strange bird too. But he was very interesting, and we just enjoyed him. He gave us some hints and some clues and tips of things to do there. It was like God just had him just sitting there for us to just even give us a piece, and like I said, to give us tips about the culture about the different things, and he really did. He really did. He helped us and even let us know, like, how much a taxi driver should, how much we should pay, or, you know, things like that. And should we convert our dollars to shekels? And so some people were telling us, go ahead and use U.S. dollars. And but when we got over there, he was saying, encouraging us to go ahead and get the shekels. And because some people will not take U.S. dollars. However, there were some who wanted U.S. dollars because they would get more money, you know, with the U.S. dollars. So we had a great time with him. We got so involved in him that he was playing a song. He said, I'm going to play a song just for you. And so he's playing this song for me, and it was a song I knew. And I'm halfway there in tears trying to sing it. So I'm singing this song, and my friend is flagging, and a crowd of people are coming around. And then here comes the guys with the Uzis. And they were saying, like, you know what? Is this your luggage over here? We're like, yeah. Well, you're too far from it. You need to move it by you, you know. So they came and kind of busted up that, but they weren't really mean to us. It's just very interesting to see guys walking down the street with Uzis, and you know what I'm talking about—the big rifle-looking guns that, but they look like they're sawed off so that they can get to them and shoot them faster. So they look like they were ready to do that. So, anyway, we ended up making it to the hotel. We had a cup of tea first, sat down, went to the ATM machine and stuff like that. And so we ended up taking a taxi to the hotel. And so went there and checked in. And then after we got there, of course, we were, you know, kind of tired, but just thinking we only had that evening and then we had the whole next day to be around. But then the following day we were, you know, headed back to the airport on that Tuesday, getting back on the plane. So after we sat or laid for a few minutes, we found out that there was something going on in the city of David, which was maybe about 20 or 30 minutes away from where we were. So we headed City of David. And so we decided we could do that train thing again. So we went and caught a train, waited for the train, caught the train, and found out later on that there was no City of David stop on the train line. We kept looking, where is the City of David? No City of David. Come to find out we passed the City of David. And so once we realized that we passed it, we got out of the train. And by this time, it's dark because the thing that we were going to go see, it was a play in the City of David, and it's not a play, but a presentation. It was kind of like a movie. And so we were going to get in a taxi after that, and we was kind of really thinking about going back because it was maybe after 8 o'clock. And the first taxi that we flagged down was this taxi driver named Anand. And so he was very gracious to us. He said, let me take you. Let's go to the City of David and see if we can find this place that you're looking for. So he really diligently looked around and found the place. And we ended up being there on time to see this wonderful, wonderful presentation where this is in the the ruins from the city of David, you know, what the what was left over from it, you know, a lot of rocks in different formations. And this, of course, you know, this is over 2,000 years ago. And so what they did was they made kind of a stage on the side, and then they projected images of Nehemiah building the wall. And so, you know, people would be talking, and Nehemiah, you know, was talking about building this wall again and all of that. And the cinematography was excellent because the rocks were sitting there, like, you know, piled in a certain way. And the way that the film projected on it, it used the formations in the rock to bring everything alive. I don't know if I can even explain it properly. I've never seen anything like this, but it was like projecting something on a wall, but making the wall part of the film, and then doing some things with the lights that caused it to be a 3D kind of thing as well. So it was beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. And I'm glad that, you know, we took the time to be able to go there. So when we finished, we had talked to the driver, Anan, and he said, call me. We have his number. He said, call me. I'll come back and get you. So we called him, and he shows up. He gets us almost right away and takes us to the hotel. So we're talking to him, and, you know, we're going to see things tomorrow. And he said, I'll tell you what. I'll pick you up in the morning. What time do you want me to pick you up? I'll take you all over to the places that you, because there are places you need to see, and we'll go to Bethlehem, and we'll see things in Bethlehem. So I'm saying, so you're going to be with us all day tomorrow? And he said, well, I'll be with you most of the day, and then I'll take you, my cousin will show you around where the Wailing Wall is, and I'm trying to remember, was it the Church of the Nativity? But anyway, so his cousin took us around, and then he came back and took us to the Mount of Olives. So basically, from 9 to about 5 or 5:30, we were between him and his cousin. And I'll tell you, I thank God for that, because we couldn't have done all that we did in the short amount of time that we were there unless we had, you know, God had sent someone like that. And he was one of our interviews. He was the third interview that we did. So I'll talk about him a little bit, and then I want to tell you the places that we were able to visit that day. Now, with him, I'm just going to say he treated us like we were royalty. He really did, like we were his family. I wish you could hear the interview. I'm going to try it again, maybe even next week, even though we're going to be doing something different. You know, we're having a couple on next week who's been married, I want to say, over 60 years. And so we want to talk with them. But at some point, I'm going to try to see if I can get these interviews going. But to hear what he was saying on the interview was very interesting. First of all, he's Palestinian. And I'm thinking that, okay, he's got to be Muslim. He's got to be Islam. And so I just, you know, we were sitting in the taxi going around. And the Lord said, just ask him point blank, are you Islam? So I asked him, he said, no, I'm Christian. I'm like, really? I was like, God, you sent us a Palestinian Christian? Really? I didn't say that out loud. But I was like, wow, God, this is really awesome. And so he was telling us, but, you know, even before he was saying, you got to see this. You got to go to Bethlehem. You got to see where Jesus was born. You must see it. You know, so he's talking to us like that, you know. And to find out that he was a Christian was just like icing on the cake. It was beautiful. So when I did the interview with him, I did I asked him, how did he become a Christian? And so that's what he was talking about on that interview that I wish you could have heard it, but you will. And make a long story short, when he was talking about being a Christian, he said his family was Christian. And that's basically, he didn't say it in these words, basically that's how he became a Christian, because his family was. And I didn't want to do the buzzer. I didn't want to do that with him. But after he finished talking, I just told him, you know, how to become a Christian and led him in the prayer of salvation. So I said, hallelujah. You know, if he's, you know, I don't know how the culture looks at being who they are. You know, let's look at it like this. A person who's Jewish is born Jewish. You know, it's their religion and it's their race. But a Christian, if you're born in a Christian household, and if your mother and father are Christian, and your grandparents are Christian, that doesn't make you a Christian. You know, what makes you a Christian is that if you, the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. So everyone, to become a Christian, everyone has to make that decision on their own. Whatever their mother or father are, you know, we all have to make the decision on our own to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And really, that's, when you stop and think about that, that is an awesome thing, the way that God put this together. So a parent can be something else, but a child can decide to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then, as the Bible said, you and your household shall be saved. But even though you and your household shall be saved, they still have to make the decision themselves. And the elders used to say something like, every tub has to sit on its own bottom. You know, I might be saying that wrong, but that's what they used to say. So everyone has their own decision. So even as we're right here in this, if you're listening tonight and you just happen to find this broadcast and you're listening and you're like, yeah, you know, listening to all of this, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're at the right place at the right time. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So in order to be saved, hallelujah, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And Jesus came to live and to die, to be crucified, hallelujah, and to be resurrected so that we can have eternal life. And then Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not might be, you know, if your mom and daddy are, but if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. This is a personal thing. Amen. So let's pray the prayer of salvation with me. If you've never done it before, you cannot remember a point in time where you did, this is your time. So repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus. Yes, go ahead and repeat after me. Just say it. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your ways and help me to follow you. And now I know that I am saved, I am born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, and Lord, we just pray right now for everyone who has prayed that prayer even for the first time, that you will just touch them by your Holy Spirit, fill them to overflowing, seal them, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, show them and bring them to a Bible-believing church. And even if they're there right now, Lord God, open up the eyes of their understanding so that they see, recognize, and realize who they are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to open the lines in a little bit. So if you want to say something, make a comment, encourage the woman of God, press your number one key, and we're going to be opening them in a little bit. So, okay, so that on that Monday when we went out, these are the places that we went to. Well, first of all, on that Sunday, we went to the City of David. Okay, so, and that's where we saw the video presentation. We went to the Church of the Nativity Church. We went to Shepherd's Field. Now, I'm trying to remember. The Nativity Church, yeah, Nativity Church and Shepherd's Field were in Bethlehem. So we did not know. Now, maybe you know, I did not know that Bethlehem is now in Palestine. I'm like, what? What? Really? So we had to go over to Palestine in order to get to Bethlehem. And there's this big wall there that separates Jerusalem from Palestine. And it was just, it was very interesting. I'm going to leave it like that. So when we went to the Nativity Church, we saw the place where Jesus was born. And you have to go into, you know, kind of, you know, bend down low to get to it. And it's like a star around the area. And, I mean, the anointing is just tremendous. I just want to say there were so many times that I was touched by the presence of God. And every time I was touched by the presence of God, I started crying. And there I was crying when I was there. And then we saw the place, you know, close to where he was born. We saw the manger, or the area where the manger was. And, you know, I'm going to try not to cry as I'm saying this. But I found in my sister, Pastor Catherine, she's pressed her number one key already, so she'll be talking in a little bit. She had told me when she came back from Israel that, you know, there were times that she would just think about it and just weep. I really understand that now. And even this morning, you know, just God just touched in just an awesome way. And there I was crying again. So the Nativity Church, and then after that we went to Shepherd's Field. We also went, we were in the West Bank, you know, what they call the West Bank, and that's where the wall is, the West Bank Barrier Wall. So we were, we saw that. So we spent time looking at that wall. on the Palestinian side of the wall, there's a lot of drawing on it. So artists come from all over the world to draw something on that barrier wall. And a lot of the things are really words of protest. You know, there's an artist who drew the peace dove with the olive branch in their mouth, and the peace dove had on a bulletproof vest. You know, just showing that, you know, there's even the peace dove is covered, because they might be shooting at that too. So it, very interesting art that was there. And my niece Joy was laughing because one of the pictures that I took said Walmart. And because I'm thinking, is there a Walmart in Palestine over here by this wall? Well, they just called it Walmart because it was a market that people went to that was close to the West Bank barrier wall. So anyway, when we left that area, that's when we went to the Shepherd's Field. And the Shepherd's Field was, that's where the angels came in the great light. And the angels were saying, this is, you know, where Jesus is, and, you know, follow this, and, you know, and you can see Jesus. So we went to that field, and we were looking around. Now, there weren't very many people there. In fact, there weren't anybody there. We were there by ourselves on a Tuesday morning. And so we took some pictures, and we're just, you know, being prayerful there as well. We went to the Temple of David. We went to the Holy Sepulchre. When we went there, the Holy Sepulchre is where they have, you know, a bunch of rocks. I mean, not little rocks, but, you know, big stones of where Jesus stood on the stone, where the cross was in that stone, and where, you know, when Jesus was crucified on the cross. So they have all of that, and that's now inside, like, kind of like a museum. And this is, you know, I was just, you know, saying, you know, what was going to touch me in the spirit. What really, really touched me in the spirit was they have a slab of stone that where they laid Jesus on after he was crucified to prepare his body for burial. And the stone really is like in the shape of a table. And I was, you know, kneeling down, and, you know, a lot of people were putting things on it. And so I just kind of, I had a scarf on, and I just started wiping the stone with the scarf, and just the anointing that came through that was just, you know, next thing I knew, here I was weeping again. And I brought that scarf home. And this morning, the Lord said to me, give mom the scarf. And so as I picked it up and I walked in her room and gave her the scarf, had the scarf still in my hand, and the presence of the Lord just came upon me in such a great way. And here I was weeping again, you know, and it was like, wow. They're like, her mom and Joy's like, you all right? What's going on? You okay? I mean, it wasn't just, you know, a little sniff. It was, ooh, you know, crying like that. And I was like, wow, God, you know, such a touch. Hallelujah. So mom got the scarf now. Hallelujah. She's been kind of hanging on to it practically all day. Praise God. So I'm going to open the lines in a few minutes here. We went to the Wailing Wall, and that's also called the Western Wall. And that's where, you know, you usually see the pictures of the guys bending over and rocking and praying. And so we went there, And they have a side for men and a side for women. And so, you know, we went on the women's side, and they kind of ask you out of respect to wear, to cover your head. So I had on my little black and white scarf that I had just rubbed on the rock, you know. And so that's what I put on my head. And I, you know, also they have some papers and, you know, some pens. And so if you have any prayer requests, you write them on a little paper, you fold the papers up, and you put the paper in the crack of the wall. So they were saying that that place is kind of like a portal, and a lot of prayers are answered that are placed in that wall. Now, gosh, I'm talking a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about that wall, because I didn't know a whole lot. But it says the significance of the wall is that the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall, as they call it, has been the center of Jewish yearning and memory for more than 2,000 years. It's the only fragment of the Great Temple that survived the Roman destruction. And it also says that the divine presence has never departed from the Western Wall. Hallelujah. So that's been there for years and years. Now, I brought back a little booklet that tells you why the Temple Mount is sacred. Let me see. Okay. Long before the temple stood on this mount, Abraham came to sacrifice his son Isaac. Jacob slept there, dreaming of a ladder to heaven. And at one point it was called Mount Moriah, and its summits was where Solomon built the temple on the land which his father, King David, purchased 3,000 years ago. That temple was destroyed by the Babylonian conqueror Nebuchadnezzar and rebuilt 70 years later and restored to its original glory by Herod 2,000 years ago. And then, let me see. He who has not seen the temple of Herod has not seen a building of true beauty. So before this was a wall, this was, you know, a temple of pure beauty. And so many things happened around in this same site. And so in 68, the temple was destroyed by the Romans and burnt to the ground, and its rocks were scattered. And the only thing that was left was the Western Wall, and it was untouched. So that is why people go to that wall, because it's just so many things happen even through history for around that wall. Even when it was a glorious temple, so many things happened there that were so biblical. You know, there were really great points and times in biblical history. So that's why people go to that wall, if you've ever wondered that. So let me see. I think that, well, we went to the market, of course. You know, we bought stuff. And when we went to the, let me go back to the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. While we were there, I was, you know, wrote things on the paper, prayers on the paper for everybody I could think of. And then I did general things to cover so many people in prayer and stuck it in the wall. And, you know, I mean, that was pretty cool. It's not like I was really feeling anything in the spirit. And then I put my hands on the wall and began to pray the way that the Lord was telling me to pray. And he told me to pray for the people's prayers to be answered, who were so desperately sticking their prayers in the wall. And that's when I felt the anointing. And so I felt the anointing very strongly. And then they, beyond the wall, there's like a plaza before you get to the wall. And they have a lot of chairs sitting out, so you can just sit anywhere. So I was sitting in one of the chairs, and my friend was flagging, you know, and worshiping the Lord like that. And I was sitting in this chair, and suddenly I started wailing. I mean, wailing. Like, ooh, 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 really? Just, I mean, it was the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't me trying to come up with something. But it was just awesome, and I just released, you know, to the Holy Spirit to be able to pray through me any way that he wanted to do it. So that was, I mean, just totally, totally awesome. Then we went to, I think we might, yeah, we did that before. We went to a market, and we were introduced to our driver's cousin. You know, man, he had a bazillion cousins. He knew everybody. So I guess that's how the culture is. So he introduced us to this man who had a market who was his cousin. And that's a whole another story and for another time. But we ended up buying some things from him. And and then he helped to be our guide too inside the city of David. So, hallelujah. We covered a lot in a little bit of time, and the Lord, his presence was just there. Amen. So I'm going to open the lines and let you guys say something. I'm going to open the line first for Pastor Mom. Then we'll go on to Pastor Catherine. If any of you have been to Israel before, please jump on and share a little bit with us. Pressure number one key. If you have any comments or the Lord touched you in any way as we were sharing tonight. That's your number one key. Amen. I'm going to open the line for Pastor Mom. Hello, Pastor Mom.
Hello. Hello. That was real interesting. And I'm thankful if I had been there, I'd probably be crying along with you. And I still got the scarf around my neck in the bed. So I thank you for all the stuff you went through.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you so much.
All right. Amen. You're welcome. So is the scarf making you feel better?
Yes. My leg has not hurt tonight at all.
Okay. Amen. Well, I know Elder prayed for you. Well, we prayed for you as well last night.
Yes.
But, amen. I'm glad you're feeling better. Hallelujah.
Thanks.
Love you, Pastor Mom.
Love you too. Thank you so much.
Amen. I'll open the line for you, Pastor Catherine. Hi, Pastor Catherine.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, praise God.
Welcome.
Can you hear? Oh, well, praise
yes,
God.
Yes, I can hear you good.
Uh-huh. I thank God for just bringing you back home.
Amen.
Yeah, we really miss you. We miss you and the show on last week.
Amen.
But,
thank you.
What an awesome time that you, I know you all had, and anybody is even thinking about going to Israel, I would suggest that, I mean, money cannot compare to the time that you will have over there. And my prayer is that the Lord will allow me to go once more before I leave here.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I would love to see the Nativity Church again, because when we were over there, some damage had been done to it. And so they were doing some renovation to it. But however, nothing, the where they have the museum for Jesus, where Jesus, the birth of Jesus was not touched. And I know that was, yes, it was, that was an awesome scene. Not only that, but also, I don't know whether you all, I was trying to remember if the tomb where Jesus rose, I thought that was near the Wailing Wall. I thought it was near the Wailing Wall.
I believe so.
Did you all get a chance?
It is. It's near the Wailing Wall. And we passed by it. But it was a lot of people in the line.
They were in the line, yeah.
Yeah, and the time was getting very short.
Yeah. And I tell you, I do understand. I mean, look like you just can't stop crying. Even when I cried over there and even when I got back here, like you were saying, it's just the anointing is just over. It just overflows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I thank God that you all got the experience to go and be able to come back again. And so we all just look forward to going back again.
Amen.
Praise God. And you have described it so beautifully. So thank you so much for bringing your experience back, and I know it's going to encourage someone else to prepare their horse to try to go over and see the Holy Land. So thank you so much for sharing your experience here.
Amen. Well, now I know how you feel. You know, got that. What did you say? You have that Jerusalem cry or something. You said.
Yeah,
I got that. And when I read the Bible, you know, I just start crying.
Yeah, because it's good to read something, but really when you actually see it, it's just like it just unfolds. Yeah, to you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's another dimension, and it definitely even in those 2 days where we had our feet on the ground there, it's a life changing experience.
Yeah. And I think it does something. I think you'll never be the same once you go there. I wish you could explain it to people, but you really can't explain it. But you'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it just changes you. So.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Amen.
And I did want to.
And thank you for your comment.
Okay, you will.
You want to do well?
I was just going to say about my arm last night. I have not had the pain in my arm, but it tried to go over in the other one. And this morning. But the other one, I have not had any pain. So thank you all so much for praying for my arm.
For you guys who were not on the call last night, Pastor, we had a prophetic healing last night, and so we were praying for Pastor Catherine. She was feeling off and on some pain around her arm that went under her arm, and so we were praying for that last night. So we thank God for complete healing, health, and wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a blessed night. Thank you for staying up with us.
Okay, love you.
Okay, bye-bye. Love you too. Bye bye. Anyone else? Any comment? And I'm gonna say this, and then I'll go ahead and close this out. I'm still kind of recuperating from the trip. I don't know if I said that the trip, four planes were full, and then we finally got a plane yesterday and came home like, oh gosh, around 5 o'clock yesterday, and have been on the go. I did sleep last night, but on the go last night, did the broadcast, and then today I had to take care of a lot of business coming back. So maybe I'll rest in the morning. Glory to God. One thing that I want to say as we get ready to close is we did see the Mount of Olives. I don't think I mentioned that. Yeah. We saw the Mount of Olives. I think that was the last thing that we saw. And that's the highest point in Jerusalem. And when you go up on the Mount of Olives, you can see so far there. If it's a clear day, you can even see over to the Dead Sea, you know, from there. And the Dead Sea, I mean, the drive to the Dead Sea is almost an hour away. And so, you know, you can see that from that far, you know, from that distance on the Mount of Olives. So it was just a beautiful time. And like we just said, a life-changing experience to go there. We have been prophesied that we're going there many times. And so I said, I'll receive that. You know, if the Lord opens the door, you know, he'll have to do it for that to happen. So we receive whatever the Lord wants to do. So I want to thank all of you for listening in tonight. Shout out to all of you all who came on tonight. Hello, Sister Yvonne. Hopefully I will see you soon and very soon. A shout out to you. I know this number, but I can't like even think of it right now with who this is. That's the 314-532. I know who you are, but I can't think of who you are quite yet, but I know your number. And I think I see Sister Carrie tonight. Amen. And hopefully you're still walking well, because last night I know God touched you in a great way. Amen. Amen. So, well, God bless you all. I'm going to go and get some rest and catch up. But thank you so very much for listening. If you know anybody else who will be encouraged by the broadcast, this broadcast has been recorded. And so if you just go online and just in whatever search engine, Google or Bing or whatever, and just put in Gitim Radio, GITM Radio, you'll be able to find us on the Blog Talk Radio platform. So if you put Gitim Radio Special, because that's what this is today, or Gitim Radio, you can put Kizzy, K-I-Z-Z-I-E, you'll come up with that, or just simply put Gitim Radio, and you'll come into our archives. Well, we have over 600 at this point, and so you'll have a feast. You can feast on the word, hallelujah, feast on the testimonies, just have a good time. So God bless you all. Now, next week, on Thursday night, we plan to have the Dickmans, Rita and Charlie Dickman, are going to be here, and they have been married for over 60 years. So we want to hear, you know, how somebody can be married for over 60 years and how things, you know, different, really words of wisdom that they can share with us about that. Because, you know, have they been married for over 60 years, but they are really walking a wonderful Christian walk. together as husband and wife. You know, the both of them are a part of our healing ministry, and hallelujah, a part of our healing ministry, and God uses them in a mighty way. So hopefully you can be here with us next Thursday. Amen. Now I remember that number, that 532. That's you, Sister McDowell. Thank you. Thank you for coming on tonight. God bless you all, and have a blessed night. And look forward to you, us meeting again in the near future. God bless.
Y'all tell the people them, don't.
The Lord, God, is next to me, is my name, my name.